live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the government has delivered the largest budget in the history of the state in response to a historic cost of living crisis. Donegal Deputy and Sinn Féin Finance spokesperson Piers Doherty, meanwhile, said it needed to show more support to low and middle income earners. Gardaí have reissued an appeal for information on the second anniversary of the disappearance of Cian Langelin. And a West Donegal councillor is again being asked to clarify claims that corruption is an issue at every level on Donegal County Council. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Kenny Harkin. First in news, the government has delivered the largest budget in the history of the state in response to a historic cost of living crisis. Renter tax credits, electricity payments and a record social welfare spend will be delivered over the coming months, according to Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue and Public Expenditure Minister Michael McGrath. Donal Kavanagh has more.
Introducing his budget this afternoon, Minister Pascal Donoghue said it would be a budget to help people cope with the cost of living crisis, but with an eye on the risk of further inflation. He said the Department of Finance estimates inflation of 8.5% this year and 7% next year. Public finances have recovered well, Minister Donoghue noted, but he said they remain vulnerable to other issues like the war in Ukraine and Brexit.
And this is why our public finances matter. They have recovered strongly from the effects of the pandemic, and much of this recovery is due to the careful management of this government in undertaking appropriate responses to the unique challenges that our country faced.
On income tax, Minister Donoghue confirmed people won't start paying the higher rate until they earn €40,000. That, he says, puts €800 a year back in the pockets of those earners. There are also changes to USC. Social welfare payments will increase across the board by €12 a week, along with large one-off payments for carers, people with disabilities and people on fuel allowance. He also confirmed the creation of a vacant property tax charged at three times the local property tax. For renters, a new tax credit of €500 a year has been confirmed for the next 2 years, while Help to Buy schemes are being extended at current rates until the end of 2024. In a blow to the hospitality sector, the reduced 9% VAT rate will be scrapped from February next year. Excise rates for alcohol will remain unchanged, but a pack of 20 cigarettes will go up by 50 cents. The government has confirmed the carbon tax increases planned for next month will go ahead, but they'll be offset by scrapping the National Oil Reserves levy. Minister Donoghue also confirmed a concrete blocks levy to pay for mica and defective blocks redress.
This redress scheme comes with a significant cost, and therefore I am bringing forward a levy on concrete blocks, pouring concrete and certain other concrete products. The levy is expected to raise €80 million annually and will be applied from the 3rd of April 2023 at a rate of 10%.
Public Expenditure Minister Michael McGrath announced a permanent reduction in student contribution fees, as well as confirming changes to the student grant system. He confirmed three electricity credits worth €200 each and announced the income threshold for fuel allowance will increase from €120 to €200 above state pension levels. However, there'll be no windfall tax for electricity companies, with the government saying it's waiting to see what the EU does in Brussels. Minister Charlie McConnellogue is welcoming the retention of a number of schemes for young farmers, while Minister McGrath also confirmed €238 million from the Brexit Adjustment Reserve Fund to help ease the impact of Brexit on farmers and food processors.
The agri-food sector is an important contributor to our rural and our national economy. In recognition of its exposure to the potential adverse impacts of Brexit, I'm allocating €238 million from the Brexit Adjustment Reserve for measures to alleviate the impact of Brexit on the sector.
Minister McGrath also confirmed inpatient charges will be removed for all public patients from next year, and he said there will be a further extension of the free GP card scheme.
Removing hospital inpatient charges for all public patients. Building on a measure that was first introduced in last year's budget to remove these charges for children under 16. extending the provision of free GP care to more than 400,000 people, with implementation of the commitment to extend to 6 and 7 year olds before the end of this year, and extension to those on or below the median level of income.
Other measures announced by the Public Expenditure Minister include extra Gardaí and Defence Forces personnel, an extra €100 million for the Shared Island Fund, and also extra money for the Our Rural Future programme. He also said that 185,000 households will be connected under the National Broadband Plan next year.
Well, in his response, Donegal Deputy and Sinn Féin Finance spokesperson Pearse Doherty said the budget needed to show more support to low and middle income earners. He told the Dáil that instead of certainty, they got some tinkering around the edges, which will leave many very vulnerable.
Today, Ken Corlea, the government had the opportunity to give people certainty as they face into a winter of rising costs. Certainty about energy costs, certainty on rents, certainty that those on fixed incomes would be shielded from the price rises that they have seen. They had an opportunity to plan for the future and deliver on housing and on health and on real climate action, but they haven't done that today, Ken Corlea. Time and time again, we've seen ministers come into this Dáil and deliver budgets that promise much but ultimately deliver little. And ministers opposite have come today and thrown out large numbers, announced tweaks here and there on the edges of the crises our people face. And for many workers and for many families on middle and low incomes, they will see little change in this budget. What workers and families needed was certainty to get through this winter. Low and middle income earners needed additional support. The younger generation locked out of opportunity needed assurances that the housing crisis was going to be tackled.
Gardaí have reissued an appeal for information on the second anniversary of the disappearance of Cian Langelin. Cian, who was 27 at the time, was reported missing from the Fáilcara area and was last seen in Hornhead on September the 27th, 2020. He is described as being 5'8" in height and of a medium build with sandy coloured hair. Garda Grainne Doherty is urging anyone with information to come forward.
2 years have passed since Cian Langelin was last seen. The last known sighting of Cian was on Sunday, the 27th of September 2020. That was in the Hornhead area of Donegal. Cian, he was aged 27 at that time. He was reported missing from the Fáilcara area. Cian is 5'8" tall, of medium build, and he has sandy coloured hair. He was wearing, when last seen, he was wearing blue jeans, a white t-shirt and black boots. So we're just appealing, look, if anybody has any information in relation to the whereabouts of Cian or any information, however small, that might assist with the investigation, we urge them to contact Milford Gardaí on 915-3060 or call the Garda Confidential line either on 1800-666-111. And, you know, it's just been a horrific, it's unimaginable, really, the horror and the grief and desperation that this family, and in particular Cian's mother, is feeling. So we do appeal to anybody, even if they had information at the time, felt it might not have been relevant, you know, it's never too late to come forward with that information, and we would ask them to do so.
Up to €45,000 worth of damage has been caused to a holiday home in Beville after it was practically destroyed during a series of break-ins in recent weeks. The owner of the property at the old barracks on James Street, Sam, is offering a reward for information. An axe and crowbar is believed to have been used as those responsible appear to have went on a rampage. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, Sam says he's in no doubt this involved multiple people on multiple occasions.
We believe there definitely was more than one person. They've been in and out of there, definitely, on a number of occasions, without a doubt. The guards, in fairness now, have been very helpful, and they've had forensic out, and they are hopeful that there will be DNA, the axe, the crowbar, cigarettes, there was a glass there, empty drinking cans and things like that there. They have done door-to-door inquiries, and I've spoken to some of the local people that live nearby.
A West Donegal councillor is again being asked to clarify claims that corruption is an issue at every level of Donegal County Council. The comment was made by Councillor Micheál Colmgill-Asbaugh during the course of the authority's budget meeting last November. Councillor McGill-Asbaugh, who made his comments through Irish, later said there may have been issues in translation, but declined to withdraw the comments at the time and again at a meeting earlier this year. Councillor Nicholas Crossan says there is still a shadow hanging over the council and that needs to be addressed.
I think that there was comments made regarding the staff and members of Donegal County Council that there was corruption going on, and I don't think that's a healthy environment to be working on, Donal. So I call today just for clarification on legalities and rules and regulations on where we're at on it and to get it tidied up as soon as possible.
Now, at the time, Councillor Micheál Cullum, who made some of the comments referred to, said at the time that part of this was perhaps a mistranslation from Irish into English. He spoke in Irish at the meeting, and maybe that there may have been an issue of what a word meant in Irish wasn't necessarily the same as what the word might be taken to mean in English. You don't quite accept that?
No, because in July of this year, I asked Councillor Micheál Asbog if he wanted to apologise for what was said, and he refused to. And he, like, if you give somebody an olive branch, and he got a great opportunity to say, look, if there's a misinterpretation and translation, that was his day for clarification on it. It's gone past that date now, and we as members are fed up the word corruption being bantied about in Donegal County Council.
The prosecution of Soldier F for murder on Bloody Sunday will resume tomorrow after a mix-up. The presiding judge was sent to Derry's courthouse instead of Belfast this morning. 13 people died on Bloody Sunday when British Armed Forces opened fire on a civil rights march. Soldier F is accused of 2 counts of murder and 5 of attempted murder. The proceedings are due to resume in Belfast tomorrow. Extensive damage has been caused to a house in Ballybofey after a fire broke out at the property on Sunday night. The blaze at the vacant property in Sheshe O'Neill started at around 11 p.m. Garda Grainne Dougherty says they have not ruled out the possibility of the fire being started deliberately.
Garda, you're investigating all of the circumstances surrounding this fire. It hasn't been ruled out as of yet that this fire may have been started maliciously, so we appeal to anybody who witnessed any activity in that area on the night in question last Sunday night and around 11 p.m. to contact Garda in Letterkenny.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's time now for all the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with horse racing, and Dylan Brown McMonagall was back in the winner's enclosure today in Cork with a 30-1 double. The Donegal jockey had his first win in the 3:45 navigation stakes on the 130 to favourite statement for trainer Joseph O'Brien. And the second one was in the 4:45. It was Indiana Gray coming in at 6-1 for trainer Patrick Martin. Those wins today were the seventh in the last fortnight for McMonagall, who has amassed 41 victories this year and is in pole position to take a second successive apprentice champion jockey title. So well done to Dylan Brown McMonagall today, another double for him. Moving on to soccer, and Tel Aviv is the venue for the biggest game in the history of the Republic of Ireland under-21s. Jim Crawford's side, they take on Israel, knowing a win will secure a first ever Irish place at a European Championships. The sides are level at a goal apiece ahead of this evening's second leg. Gets underway shortly at 6:15. Meanwhile, Stephen Kenny must make at least one change to his senior side for tonight's Nations League visit of Armenia to Dublin. Midfielder Josh Cullen is suspended. Kenny's hinted that he could make subtle tweaks to his side, but insists their approach will remain the same.
There's a misconception that 3-4-2 gives you greater protection, or that 3-4-2-1 is more attacking. Neither are more attacking or defensive. They're just different ways of playing. And we don't consider one more attacking than the other. So, you know, we're capable of playing both systems, and we don't like to obviously tell our opposition in advance how we're going to play. So I think that's important.
Kickoff at Lansdowne Road is 7:45. Elsewhere in that group, Scotland, they'll earn promotion to the top tier if they manage to earn a point away to Ukraine. And Johnny Evans is expected to win his 100th cap for Northern Ireland in tonight's Nations League game with Greece. A win for Ian Barraclough's side in Athens would be enough to avoid relegation from their group. That's also a 7:45 start in the Greek capital. Meanwhile, Irish under-19s, they'll look to finish their first phase of Euro qualification with a 100% record this evening. Tom Mohan's side have already secured a spot in the elite phase, regardless of the result against Hungary and Bangor. Kick-off there is at 6 o'clock. In some other news, Everton, they have confirmed midfielder Allan has joined Al Wahada on a permanent transfer. The Brazilian moves to the United Arab Emirates after making 57 appearances for the Premier League club. He joined Everton from Napoli in September 2020. And former Chelsea midfielder Mikel John Obi has announced his retirement at the age of 35. He won two Premier League winners' medals during his 11 years at Stamford Bridge. The Nigeria international, who later had spells with Middlesbrough and Stoke, also lifted the Champions League, Europa League, League Cup and three FA Cups in West London. In boxing, the Ulster Senior and Novice Championships get underway tonight at the Dockers Club in Belfast. First up for Donegal will be Illy's boxer Ciarán Gormley. He has a quarter-final bout this evening. The action at the Dockers Club gets underway at 8 o'clock tonight. In Gaelic Games, St Joseph's in Wexford Town has indefinitely suspended one of its members for their role in an incident during a junior football match at the weekend. A full investigation is underway by the club's disciplinary committee and the Wexford County Board. On Sunday, Wexford GAA wished a speedy recovery to the match officials involved in the incident. In snooker, Jordan Brown is into round two of the British Open. The Antrim man defeated Gon Yi by 4-1 in Milton Keynes and will play the winner of this afternoon's meeting of Craig Stedman and Ben Mertens in the second round. There's also wins today by Graham Dott, Lee Hung Hai Tong and Jack Jones. In rugby, Ireland's defence of their under-26 nations will begin away to Wales on February the 3rd. A week later, they'll entertain France before a trip to Italy on February the 24th. On the 10th of March, Ireland will be away to Scotland and complete their campaign at home to England on March the 19th. In golf, Phil Mickelson has withdrawn his name from a lawsuit taken against the PGA Tour. The six-time major winner was originally among 11 LIV Golf signees to take action against the PGA Tour over their suspensions. Ian Poulter, Taylor Gooch and Hudson Swafford have also asked for their names to be dismissed from the suit. And in motorsport, China's first driver in Formula One, Zhou Guanyin, has been retained by Alfa Romeo for 2023. He scored 6 points from 16 races in his debut season and has also included a big first corner crash at July's British Grand Prix. Zhou will be back alongside Valtteri Bottas in the next campaign. Meanwhile, Formula One will run 6 sprint events a season from next year onwards. The decision has gained approval from the Saturday races, which set the grid for the Sunday Grand Prix to double in the calendar from 2023. Teams have long backed the move, but it had previously been contested by the sport's governing body. That's all your sports this evening. It's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, any moves to make Ireland a cashless society will discriminate against older citizens and make it harder for people to control their spending. That's according to Councillor Micheál Nochtain, who is calling on the Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue, to ensure cash remains a key part of our day-to-day lives. A recent survey from the Dublin Mint Office found 88% of people believe contactless card payments will leave behind a significant cohort of Irish people. Councillor Micheál Nochtain says technology is all well and good, but in the event of problems, cash should always be there.
Technology is only as good, and when it goes down, that basically, where's the problem? If you don't have cash to back it up. I believe there's a part for both cash and credit cards, but I definitely think there's a big need for people going forward in relation to cash also.
There was a very interesting incident recently, and you referred to it in the chamber, whereby AIB was suggesting it was going to go cashless in certain branches, and there was a very strong pushback, perhaps to the surprise of everyone, most of all the bank.
Yes, I mean, definitely. I mean, and you know, that's, I mean, because also the European Bank did a survey, and they found that basically the majority of Irish people still want cash as part of their daily lives and that. So definitely, I mean, we've seen the backlash from the general public when the 70 AIB banks decided to get rid of cash, and that basically caused a huge uproar. And I tell you, the same would apply. I mean, because people out there, I mean, want to have cash because they want to be able to budget, want to know what they're spending. And my fear is basically for our younger people going forward, because, you know, will there be debt in the future and that, because everybody's just tapping. Nobody is basically taking control of what they're spending, and it's very easy to overspend when you're out and you're just tapping and that. But the days gone by, basically you had a certain amount of money in your pocket. When that was gone, it was gone. But now basically you're tapping all the time and nobody knows what they're spending on a night out.
Weather now mostly cloudy with scattered showers today and highest temperatures of just 11 to 13 degrees. The closing headlines this evening. The government has delivered the largest budget in the history of the state in response to a historic cost of living crisis. However, Donegal Deputy and Sinn Féin Finance spokesperson Piers Doherty said the budget needed to show more support to low and middle income earners. He told the Dáil that instead of certainty, they got some tinkering around the edges, which will leave many very vulnerable. Gardaí have reissued an appeal for information on the second anniversary of the disappearance of Cian Langeland. Cian, who was 27 at the time, was reported missing from the Fáilcheara area and was last seen in Hornhead on September the 27th, 2020. Up to €40,000 worth of damage has been caused to a holiday home in Moville after it was practically destroyed during a series of break-ins in recent weeks. The owner of the property at the Old Barracks on James Street is offering a reward for information. And a West Donegal councillor is again being asked to clarify claims that corruption is an issue at every level on Donegal County Council. The comment was made by Councillor Micheál Colmagill-Asbaugh during the course of the authority's budget meeting last November. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The evict notices for this Tuesday evening, the 26th of September. The death has taken place of PJ O'Donnell, 14 Wolftone Place, Letterkenny, formerly of Termin. Removal from Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountain Top, Letterkenny, this evening at 6 o'clock, going to his late residence. Funeral from there on Thursday afternoon at 12:30 to St Eunan's Cathedral for 1 o'clock Requiem Mass, which can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. Interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 12 noon and on the morning of the funeral. Rosary nightly at 9 p.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the intensive care unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Ida Blake, 53, the Elms Glen Carr, Letterkenny. Reposing at her late residence until 9 o'clock this evening and again tomorrow from 12 noon with Rosary Nightly at 9 p.m. Funeral from her home on Thursday morning going to St Eunan's Cathedral for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, which can be viewed on churchservices.tv, followed by interment in Conwell Cemetery. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director. The death has taken place of Rose O'Donnell, 26 Convent Road, Carndonna, near McGeoghegan, Greenbank, Quigley's Point. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonna, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. The death has taken place of Michael Bernard, Mickey B. McElhinney, late of 12 Millside Crescent Park, County Derry, reposing at his sister's home at 21 Stonywood, Victoria Road, Derry. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Alton Ewer, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred of Sarah Sally Tallon, 18 Wheatfield Court, Muff, and formerly of Leixlip, County Kildare. Sarah's remains will repose at her home until 8 o'clock this evening. Removal from there tomorrow morning, going to Sacred Heart Church, Muff, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by private cremation in Lakelands, County Cavan. Sarah's Requiem Mass can be viewed on mcnmedia.tv. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Irish Cancer Society, care of any family member, or Murphy Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Bridie McGlinchey, née Bradley, Clonbeg, Buncrana. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there at 10:20 tomorrow morning. Walking to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. Wake private, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. And the death has taken place of Johnny Curran, Sheshkenbeg, Gwydor. His remains are reposing at Rorty's Funeral Home in Derrybeg until 7:15, with removal to St Mary's Church, Derrybeg, arriving at 7 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral Mass in St Mary's Church, Derrybeg, tomorrow morning at 11, with interment afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.